All right, the word doctor is in it, so Sean thinks it's appropriate. It has nothing to do with loving you or anything. And that rates it a 6. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. And I need to explain, though it doesn't need much explanation, but I do still feel I need to explain the following hour here on the Dennis Prager Show with Dr. Michael Richman. I believe with all my heart, now I to the point of certitude, it is wherever it goes from belief to certitude, is that's the place I'm at. That this, we do this, how many times, Alan? About 3 times a year? That this 3 or 4 time a year visit with this doctor, for whom I have enormous respect, saves lives of listeners. I have no doubt in my mind, otherwise I wouldn't do it. It is not that we lack for subjects, my dear friends. Believe me, I have a stack of papers right in front of me of things that I'm not doing because I want to do this. I believe that he has helped me personally tremendously, health-wise. And I just thought, frankly, on an altruistic basis, if he's that good, I want you to know about him. But of course, not because, you know, millions of you can visit him, but some can, obviously, those in the Southern California area, but it's a national and indeed international show. But because what the information he will give you, you can use at home where you are. Now, Dr. Michael Richman, Rich Man, he is not, but that is his name, cardiothoracic surgeon and president of the Center for Cholesterol Management. He also has a website, and that is up at DennisPrager.com. And what is it called?
LipidCenter.com.
LipidCenter.com. Okay, thank you kindly. Anyway, all of that is up at DennisPrager.com. There was an article, and this is what really pushed us to have this this particular time together on the air. Dr. Richman and I had both seen this article. He, of course, immediately texted me. In the Los Angeles Times on August 9th, effectiveness of statins called into question. The subtitle of the piece is, "The drugs clearly help patients who have already had a heart attack, but their use has skyrocketed in patients hoping to prevent a first heart attack. In those cases, the benefits are dubious." And Dr. R here went ballistic. So we'll have a little of his ballistics in a moment. Let me explain that the issue here is cholesterol. And by the way, those of you who are younger, you under 30, you under 35, let me say something to you directly. It is very understandable for you to think that these issues don't concern you. Then you read about people in their 40s having heart attacks and developing other conditions, the beginning of adult onset diabetes or what have you, and then you realize you're not that far away from having to be concerned with this. I feel about this for you who are younger the way I do about life insurance for you who are younger. As I told my son, who's 27, I said, get life insurance now. God willing, man, you're not going to need this for a very long time, or more precisely, your wife won't need it for a very long time. But it's very cheap for you to get it now, not to mention the fact that anything can happen. You know, we're all shocked when we read about people dying at a younger age, but they do. Anyway, this is truly for everybody. Plus, it's fascinating. The stuff, I don't know much about medicine, but what I do know fascinates me. And this whole issue does. So that's by way of introduction of Dr. Michael Richman. And first of all, Doctor, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you. Good seeing you as usual.
Thank you for that. This article in the LA Times, I guess you would probably say that the sad upshot is it may endanger some people's lives.
Well, that's initially why I got so angry, because, you know, we've talked about it before, how I wake up in the morning and always on morning shows, there's always a negative article about something that makes such an impact in somebody's life and health. And as we know, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of men and women in the United States. If you take the next seven causes, it does not add up to that single cause. Over close to 3,000 people die a day from cardiovascular disease, and one in three people have sudden death as the first sign that they have cardiovascular disease. So they're dead. And yet we still have
whose people. Death brought us together for the first time on the air?
Tim Russert.
Tim Russert, exactly.
Right, and everybody thought it was shocking, and obviously we had talked, and it was not shocking when you went over his numbers, and they thought he was treated. So I guess my reference point is why there's still doubt, and you still have doctors. There's several public health doctors, and you know we've talked about that with healthcare reform, that say that treating cholesterol aggressively isn't necessary. And, you know, I mean, I happen to just bring this in, one of the landmark papers from 1961 right here, Contributions to Basic Science to Modern Medicine, which was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine in 1961, American Heart Association, talks about how high cholesterol causes coronary artery disease. So for people to say that treating high cholesterol is not necessary in certain patient groups when we know 100%, it's not even up for discussion, that it begins right after birth. If you look at babies, their aortas have little yellow streaks in it, and it's a progressive disease. So for anybody to doubt that, and then you have an article that went into the LA Times saying that the medicine that is the most studied and probably safest class of medicines of any medicine is not doing any good in a certain without any basis for it is distressing, because then the calls start, like I got, you know, Michael, I don't want to take my medicine. It's scaring me without any reason. And you have to do damage control, and I think you're harming so many people.
So what do you think animated this piece in the Los Angeles Times?
Well, what it said in there was, you know, once again, it's big pharma that drives sales of drugs without any regard to the data or hiding data. And, you know, granted, every day you hear on the news about some study or a pharmaceutical company. And like we've talked about before, they're not perfect. I'm sure there's, you know, in all the industries, BP, you know, with the oil, everybody does some shady stuff and, you know, publishes dubious stuff or hides stuff. But by and large, they're a good industry. You know, don't take Tylenol. Don't take baby aspirin next time you have a fever. They develop both those. So, you know, you need to look at the good and not the bad.
Let me say a word on that, which I have in the past. It is mind-blowing to me that we live in a country that has far more bad to say about pharmaceutical companies than trial lawyers. I sit in awe of the ability of the media to shape the discussion and to turn common sense and morality upside down. I don't know how many trial lawyers have saved people's lives, but I do know that pharmaceutical companies have saved millions, tens of millions of lives. Do they want to make a profit? Yes, so do trial lawyers want to make a profit. Why is one okay and not the other? By the way, I'm not against trial lawyers existing or anything like that, but it is remarkable to me that one is demonized and one isn't. And so this is, I think you're right. I think that that's what animated this article. I take statins. You can check for deleterious side effects, right? Liver or whatever.
Right. But the point is that I wrote in my response to it, first of all, is...
Yes, he had a published letter in the LA Times.
And they didn't edit it very much, and I was appreciative of that, was that there was published in 2006 and 2007 the Statin Safety Task Force. And the Statin Safety Task Force was formed by the National Lipid Association, a nonprofit, independent, non-governmental agency. And they formed subgroups, a liver group, a muscle group, a neurology group, and looked at statins and all the other medicines for cholesterol. And they looked at the FDA Adverse Reporting Data Bank. They looked at a 28 million person New York State patient database from an HMO. They looked at all the drug company approvals, all the available literature, and they came up with conclusions and answered questions based by scientific evidence. So everything that everybody reads on the internet about, you know, Miss Smith in Oklahoma said her husband died from this, Sure, any medicine can cause any side effect.
Right.
But let's deal with the facts. Every other tombstone in a cemetery is from cardiovascular disease. And you will probably not find one person in a cemetery that died from statin use.
Very powerful. Back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richmond. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dennis Prager here with our, I guess, three times a year visit with a medical doctor, Dr. Michael Richmond, who is a cardiothoracic surgeon, president of the Center for Cholesterol Management in West Los Angeles, L.A., California. And I am a lucky beneficiary of his thoroughness and his excellence as one of his patients. And he has insights that I have wanted to share with my listeners for quite some time. We were talking about the article just published in the Los Angeles Times, and I'm sure a lot of people then worry, gee, why is my wife or husband on these cholesterol drugs, these statins? And they're good for you, the doctor says, and I believe him. Common sense suggests to me that I'd like to know what the downside is. As you pointed out at the very end, that one out of every other tombstone is somebody who had a cardiovascular
event,
as you guys call it in the medical field. And how many are there because they took Lipitor or what are the other brand names?
Well, just any of the statins.
Yeah, just Crestor, give the brand names. Crestor and
Zocor. Lavallo.
Yeah, right, just so people will know what we're talking about. It so stands to reason to me that I just bring this to your attention. Right now, though, I want to go into one other thing with the cholesterol issue because it concerns people and should. There are two things. First, tell me if you agree, and I always feel funny talking to an expert about what I think, but nevertheless, it's based on some degree of talking to experts. And that is that people should think... People tend to think that they can, a lot of people think, they can handle a lot of medical issues on their own. And that's great. You know, stay in shape, eat right. I'm totally for it. However, tell me if you agree with me or not. Overwhelmingly, what we eat is not going to have this biggest significance on our cholesterol.
Well, like we've talked before, basically about 80% of your cholesterol production or absorption is determined by your genes. Can't change your genes. And we're able to test now, do gene testing to see what essentially your genes are for cardiovascular risk. So 20% would be diet related. So if you take that into numbers, if we eat about 200 to 500 milligrams of cholesterol a day, that's the American diet, we make 800 to 1200 milligrams in our body today. Hence, I have vegans who come into me who eat no animal anything, and they have numbers that are soaring. And then I have people that eat poorly, and they have decent numbers. It's because you cannot change your genetics. So, yes, the first treatment is always lifestyle, and we've talked about that. Smoking cessation, weight loss, eating well, exercise. I mean, that is the mainstay of anything. And forgetting about the cholesterol benefits, which actually are not that great. And blood pressure benefits, they're not that great. It's all the other benefits. But you cannot get a cholesterol normal just by going out and saying, I'm going to run every day 5 miles. It's just not going to happen.
And eat plants.
Well, actually, and I think maybe we've discussed it, there's actually the main type of cholesterol in plants, which is called cytosterol, which is a non-cholesterol sterol, in a group of patients is actually more artery clogging than regular cholesterol. So these people are eating plants, and we're fortifying our foods now with these so-called sterols. You've seen it, baby aspirin with phytosterols and margarine with sterols. There's a group of patients where it's more artery clogging than regular cholesterol. But yet nobody talks about it because most doctors don't understand the physiology, don't even know it exists. If you ask them the difference between a sterol or a stanol, 99.9 don't know.
I know the difference between a stalactite and a stalagmite.
Do you?
Does that count?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just another.
But I didn't know the other one, I admit. No, but it's so important for you, my dear listeners, to understand that, how much of this. You threw in a point there that will shock half my listeners. Even blood pressure is primarily genetic.
It's essential hypertension. 95% of the causes of hypertension, we have no clue why. I mean, we know like what's going on in the body, but it appears one night, just overnight. Now, yes, clogging of the arteries that supply the kidneys can cause it, and there's tumors of the adrenal gland. But by and large, most cases of high blood pressure, we have no clue. So, and there's study after study done that has shown that regular exercise and this maybe lower it 3 to 4 points, but it's not going to suddenly make you.
Well, 3 to 4 points doesn't put you on an anti-hypertension drug anyway.
Right.
No, right? I mean, so it doesn't matter. Of course one should exercise, and of course one should eat right, but let's understand what it does or doesn't
right.
do.
I mean, the problem is why I get so upset about everything is, you know, like anywhere in the world, there are people who will say anything to get known.
I would even go further. They really may believe it.
Well,
there is a philosophical, emotional desire to believe we can control everything that happens to us.
Well, I'm not talking about. I'm talking more about how when they have a quote expert on TV.
Who
will sit there and say that high cholesterol is not bad for you, and that if you lower it, it's not a good thing, and it's that's not only anti-establishment, okay? Because you know I'm a little bit of a rule breaker and anti-establishment.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's also something that you're saying that has zero basis in scientific fact. And I think we've discussed before how there are so many different journals and everything. And by and large, most of them are not legitimate. They're not peer review. And you can pay to get your own study that you did put in there. And then somebody starts quoting it. And you just look at it and you're like, how does a study in 10 people who you felt, you know, fed nacho cheese Doritos, determine anything? And then now all of a sudden it's being quoted. You know, I mean, I'm being facetious.
No, I totally understand. By the way, on the issue of high blood pressure, what about tension and anxiety?
Well, we know that tension and anxiety increase your sympathetic nervous system, you know, that flight or fright type mm-hmm. of thing. So you get increased levels of epinephrine in your body or adrenaline and cortisol. Yes, those increase your blood pressure. So it's a secondary effect, but obviously if that was the killer with my lifestyle and my training of being a cardiac surgeon and sleep deprivation and running around having 10 people die on you in a night, I would be dead if mm-hmm. it was really all about that.
Well, every president would have a heart attack in office.
Right. But I mean, let's quickly just get back to that study, why it was so important. Their basic idea was that there's in primary prevention studies, in other words, people who are of good health, who you put on a statin, the article in the LA Times said that there's no benefit in terms of lowering cardiovascular deaths. In secondary prevention trials, absolutely. In other words, if you've had a heart attack or you've had a stroke and you put them on. The problem is what they didn't say is in a primary prevention study, they have to be looked at 15 or 20 years because if you're looking at death,
yes.
Not enough people die in 3 or 4 years.
Exactly. Makes perfect sense to this layman. We'll be back in a moment. Dr. Michael Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N. And his website is up at DennisPrager.com. He is a doctor in practice, cardiovascular, cardiothoracic surgeon in West L.A. and cardiologist. Back in a moment. Dennis Prager here. We have Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Georgia, California, Indiana up. But we doubled on Minnesota. We did. By the way, we're coming to Minnesota. And I mean we are coming to Minnesota State Fair for the 73rd time. So it feels. We'll be broadcasting from the Patriot booth. Oh, you have never been there, Alan? Well, it's your chance to get one piece of food that alone will raise your cholesterol to levels that you will have to see Dr. Richman. They have everything that they have is including a deep-fried Snickers bar. just in case the Snickers bar was not enough, that you were kicking. The doctor is leaving.
I just saw two patients last week that flew out from Minnesota to see me. Maybe that's why.
That's why what? Why they flew you. Exactly. That's right, exactly.
And they have the Mayo Clinic right there, and they still flew out to LA to see me.
I don't blame them. That's a great story. Two of my listeners?
Yes.
That's terrific. All right, folks, we're saving lives here. I believe that. Otherwise, I would not devote this hour. There is no other reason for me to do so. I believe this man has, and I, God forbid that he's not the only one, but I do believe, for example, and this is the one that I know saves lives, this is what brought you on really originally, this insight of yours into how we measure cholesterol incorrectly.
That's correct.
And I'm adept at doing it, but go right ahead. You can do your chair, your cars and trucks.
Okay. It is not up for discussion. Everybody, this is well accepted. The model for clogging the arteries was elucidated back in the 60s. And we know that cholesterol is an oil and blood's water. So they don't mix, oil and vinegar, salad dressing. So how does the body transport the cholesterol through the body? Well, it's got to be put into something in order to allow it to get to where it needs to go and where it doesn't need to go. So I thought a while back, how am I going to explain this to patients? And I thought about, okay, let's take cars and the people in the cars. And I came up with the analogy, what causes a traffic jam on a freeway? Is it the number of cars or the people in the cars? And clearly it's the number of cars, not the people in the cars.
Not the number of people. Right.
And what we do when we do regular cholesterol testing in the doctor's office, we measure essentially the amount of cholesterol in a particle. In other words, the people in the cars. But it has been shown in study after study after study that it's the number of cars, in other words, of these lipoprotein particles that correlate most with cardiovascular events, stroke, heart attack, and death. So how do we measure these lipoproteins or cars? Well, it's a different way of measuring. So when we do regular testing in a regular doctor's office, 40 to 50% of the population who has normal people, in other words, normal cholesterol, actually doesn't. It's highly abnormal. Then you get back and you say to yourself, well, God, we're burying one in two people from cardiovascular disease. Isn't that 50%? Why are we missing those 50% of the people? Well, we're not identifying them. If we can't identify them, how can you treat them? But we can identify them because if you do particle testing, lipoprotein testing, and measure these particles, which are the cause of atherosclerosis, you identify everybody. And then if you don't want treatment, okay, the patient's made the decision. You got the facts right in front of you, buddy. Here's the deal. You don't want medicine. You don't want to do this. At least you have the info now. At least you have the data. Not somebody saying to you, listen, you're fine, don't worry about it, your cholesterol is normal, when it never was.
Therefore, every one of you, including those of you who think you have the lowest cholesterol, run marathons, and live on asparagus.
Jim Fix.
Yeah, Jim Fix. That's right, James Fix. Didn't he die while jogging?
Yes.
Every one of you needs to get your particles tested. Or enumerated, or whatever the term would be. Now, the problem, however, is, and this is a problem, and I hate to say it because there are many wonderful cardiologists out there, not all, by any means, do this or are even familiar with it. And I think that unless I have you wrong, or unless you're wrong, and I believe a wrong man, that's really bad. I mean, that the average person going for a checkup for his or her heart does not get the particle test. I'll have you comment when we come back. I think it's wrong. Then we're going to take your calls from around the country. But I just need you to all know that. Get this test. You'll give the name when we come back, and we will come back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richman. I'm Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager here, and I put all of my passion into this. I believe that this test which is a simple blood test. It's nothing. You do nothing. The testers do everything. You just sit there and do what I do, read classical music reviews while having your blood taken. And, right, you're a witness.
Or you fall asleep.
Or fall asleep. That's right. Sometimes I nap during. That's right. I don't really care about blood tests, to be honest. But in any event, that's all it is. You have to take them anyway to measure your cholesterol. But most people don't get this. What is it called, this test?
Well, it's just LDL particle testing, or also measuring particle. What's called ApoB. The one thing I just want to bring up quickly is the only argument that some people do make to this is, and we just talked about it with primary prevention studies, there's no doubt in the guidelines, say, from the American Diabetic Association, American College of Clinical Chemists, is that in patients who have any risk factors, this is the standard of care. However, in a normal, healthy person, the government now could come back and say, let's say, and use this in healthcare. It hasn't been shown in healthy people to make people survive longer. Well, how do you do that study? Who's going to pay to study a million healthy people and draw particles
on
everybody?
Well, aside from that, how do you know who's healthy until you take the test?
Well, that's my point.
Because you don't know. You can be in perfect physical shape and have low cholesterol and still fail this test.
Right, because there's a tremendous disconnect, as we said, is between what your number of people are. Once you get a very low LDL
number of passengers,
cholesterol,
the better word is passenger.
Correct.
The number of passengers does not affect a freeway or throughway or turnpike or highway traffic.
Especially if you're diabetic.
The number of cars do. This measures your cars. Your current cholesterol measurement measures the passengers.
If you want to look at your regular cholesterol panel from your doctor, here's the thing that you should worry about if you see. If your triglycerides are high and your good cholesterol is low, if you put your triglycerides over your HDL, your good cholesterol, and that ratio is greater than 3 to 3.5, you have about a 90% chance of having too many cars. Most doctors don't even understand that ratio. That's not a ratio they even ever think to even do because you're not taught it. But just the poor man's way, if you look at your cholesterol and you see that, despite having a normal total cholesterol, you need to be frightened.
Somebody listening in Atlanta, what do they do? They're not going to fly to West L.A. What do they do?
Well, basically, I know that LabCorp does particle testing, but you got to have a doctor who understands what to even ask for to write the prescription for you. You can go to a LabCorp.
What do they ask for?
That you want your LDL particle.
Okay, fine.
Test.
And will that be at your website?
Yes. I mean, I use a laboratory in Richmond, Virginia. I send everything to them because they use the most comprehensive testing and, you know, accept insurance and Medicare. They're phenomenal. But, you know, insurance and Medicare do pay for all this stuff.
All right, to calls. Jeffersonville, Indiana. Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Dennis Prager, Dr. Michael Richmond.
Hi, Dennis. Dr. Richmond, thank you for taking my call. This is really a two-part question, and listening to you on hold for a while, I think I probably know the answer to the first part. But I was told by the owner of a health food supplement store once that high cholesterol can be lowered strictly through exercise, but that the danger of doing that is once you quit exercising on a regular basis, it will go right back to where it used to be. And the other question is, I would like your opinion on supplements like fiber or fish oil tablets, things like that.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. You'll get them both. Go ahead.
Okay. Exercise has been shown to lower cholesterol, and this is heavy exercise done over a long term, very modestly. So will it do the job? No. But what exercise does is it helps your cardiac muscle, your heart condition. It recruits new blood vessels. It allows the blood vessels in your heart to dilate. So it has all these other secondary effects. But to lower your cholesterol per se, for that reason, no, it doesn't do the job.
I mean, and supplements.
Okay. Supplements, as we've talked about a lot, it's a totally unregulated industry. Don't know what you're getting. Okay, and the majority of studies that people
but
quote...
But you do believe in supplements. You just want to make sure that they are properly supervised.
Well, in certain things, I mean, I'm not a vitamin guy.
No. I'm forgetting vitamins. But the one you love, I'm just...
Well,
I mean,
fish oil fish oil is not a supplement. I mean,
well,
fish
people
oil is,
think of it as that.
Fish
he,
oil
he listed
is proven
it.
In study after study to lower in people who've had heart attacks... to lower the incidence of death in the Japanese population. They have a markedly reduced incidence of non-fatal heart attacks, and the data is there. Fish oil is a different ballgame. Fiber, yes. Does fiber help lower your cholesterol? Absolutely. Proven.
Okay, very good. And by the way, there's inferior and superior fish oil, but we can't get into that now. Minneapolis and Pat.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a little nervous, but I just wanted to share, like you talked at the beginning.
It's all right. I'm nervous when I talk to Micah Richmond, too. Don't feel bad.
Okay. My husband died when he was 49 of a heart attack. He had had high cholesterol. They say it's quite genetic, and I had two sons, and they need to be monitored. Their cholesterol is normal, but they'd like to have it's under normal, but they'd like to have it even lower than under normal. And I'm wondering about what they should be treated at. Or
okay, let me say something immediately, please, because I'll put it in layman's talk. Tell me if I'm wrong, doctor. People, 90% of people talking about the cholesterol count, in light of what you're saying about the passengers in cars, really don't know their cholesterol level.
Correct.
Okay.
In regular in regular risk factor scoring, when you look at, and this is a great question, family history is not even taken into it. Okay, but if you say to me, your husband died at 49, immediately that's a, and I'm sorry about that, by the way. But that's immediate red flag that goes into my head where I'm like, wow, I don't care what this paper, this person's risk, the family risk is on paper. There's a lot higher risk. So in your sons, they may have normal cholesterol. Your husband may have had normal cholesterol. Your kids absolutely need particle testing. And I would also do on them something called ApoE gene testing to see, do they have the gene that predisposes them to a higher incidence of cardiovascular death, which would make their therapy be more intensive. So without checking the particles and checking that, you don't really know what the true picture is, and you cannot say that they have normal versus abnormal cholesterol.
Excellent. Back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richmond, Dennis Prager Show. Dennis Prager here. I always have a smile on my face because I really, I'm telling you, and I got a fair amount of credibility with my listeners. 28 years of broadcasting, I've tried to earn it. And I have absolutely no other interest in helping you live longer here. This is very important, what you've been hearing from Dr. Michael Richmond, the cardiothoracic surgeon, president of the Center for Cholesterol Management. The cholesterol number that the vast majority of you have is, as I now understand it, simply irrelevant. Just irrelevant. And certainly inaccurate because it doesn't measure what really matters, which is the cars blocking your arteries, not the passengers. And you've been measured for passengers. And it's a great analogy. It's worked with me, so it must be good because I don't have a medical brain. I'm going to repeat some here so we can go as fast as possible in the remaining 2 minutes, Dr. Richmond. Is it true vitamin D is good for the heart?
Absolutely. Vitamin D is necessary. We're recognizing low vitamin D is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. African-Americans do not absorb the vitamin D. Most of it's from the sun. They tend to have lower vitamin D levels. People who live above a certain latitude don't get enough sunlight.
Well, all of us who spend time indoors.
And you are definitely deficient in vitamin D.
I know. I take vitamin D.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. I know that. I agree with you entirely. Let's see now. That was Arizona. We could see Michigan. Are generic static drugs, I guess statin drugs, yeah, as effective as brand-named statins? Are generic statins as effective as brand name?
I mean, I would imagine they are. They're supposed to be. I have one patient recently who got a generic Crestor from India, and his numbers went up. I can't answer the question.
Okay, very good. Fair enough. Let's see here. There was somebody, in California, San Diego. Family has a history of high cholesterol, yet live long lives. Explain. Because may have low...
Well, first of all, we haven't talked about it today, but they could have this super HDL, let's say, where the good cholesterol functions better despite having a high bad cholesterol, and they just have a gene for longevity. I mean, not, as I said, one in two people. That still leaves 50% of the population.
All righty. Jim thinks there's a spiritual and emotional element to heart disease and health. Nobody would disagree with you, Jim, but it's not enough. That's all. That's the reason we have science. All righty, my friends. I wish we could have taken you all. Dr. Michael Richman, his website is up at DennisPrager.com, and he is the surgeon and president of the Center for Cholesterol Management. You're saving lives, Dr. Richman. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you. I enjoy being here.